Hello. Well, this is an update about how my little bit of educating the sighted went. Empty glass of water, so it's a glass of air instead. So you'll hear me filling that up in the background. And kitcheny fridge noises and things. Well, first thing to say is that boo published on Friday because it got stuck. I actually went and spoke to the scouts on Thursday, and I actually recorded the boo in the afternoon on Thursday before I when I was on the bus into town. So I did the boo while I was waiting for and then got on the bus. And then got into town, had a cup of coffee in the Crowngate shopping centre where I did that audio boo of the horrendously loud music. If you're wondering why all that water, I don't like it unless it's cold. So that's why I ran the tap for ages. Yes, so then there was that horrendous music. Then I got my lift. Then we had tea with the friend who leads the scouts, the other gentleman, John, who was going to be doing the session with me, and the scout leader's wife. So scout leader's wife, me and John had tea so that we could eat and also talk about what we each wanted to talk about. We didn't get to talk about absolutely everything we wanted to, as is often the way with these things, I think. I haven't actually done it before. Oh, I've just thrown some water on the floor. Oh dear, that was a bit silly. Never mind, it is only water. Oh, now it's gone all over me. Yuck. Actually, it's not that bad. Anyway, we got there, and the first thing that I noticed was that they were quite loud, but then that sort of age group of kids, sort of 10 to 13-ish, I think. Sorry, that's just me putting things down in the background so that I'm not sitting on ouchy things on this chair because it's a bit untidy. So the first thing I realised was, yes, they were quite noisy, the scouts, and there were girls, they had girls as well, which I think is good. Had I continued with the scout/guide path after I left Brownies, I think I'd have gone to scouts because, I don't know, I always thought guides was a bit girly, whereas the cubs and the scouts always seem to get to do exciting stuff like having water fights and, I don't know, different stuff. I mean, that was a different scout pack, that was in London, but, you know, the stuff that I heard from the boys that they got up to always sounded far more exciting than our staid little girly craft activities, which weren't bad, but, you know, I was a bit of a tomboy when I was growing up. I liked girly dresses and things like that, but I also liked play fighting and chasing people and things. Anyway, going off the point now. So, when we got there, after the first impression of noisiness and the fact that, oh my word, this room's really echoey as well, which makes the noisiness seem even louder, they do this thing where the leader says troop alert and they have to sort of stand to attention, and then somebody brings the flag and they do a couple of other things, I think, and then after that the leader says troop at ease, and I thought, wow, it's kind of a bit like the army. I didn't expect that, you know, and they all do it, and you know, they're all, I suppose it's good for discipline, really. you know, all doing exactly as told, you know, and the rest of it wasn't really like that. They just had a bit like that at the beginning and a bit like that at the end. So that sort of surprised me a bit. But, you know, it was okay. I was just a bit unexpected for me, that was all. So then they played this game called Electric Chair, I think it was. And when they touched something in the middle, I think they had a bin that they used to store water or something. It was clean, anyway. And if you touched this bin, you were out of the game or something. And I don't really know quite what they were doing that during that. They had to avoid touching the bin. But anyway, they played this electric chairs game for a little while. And me and John just sat at the side going, wow, this is noisy. And sort of doing last minute, I'll talk about this, you talk about that kind of bits. So then we were introduced and I said, no, John spoke first and we agreed that. I said, yeah, you do it first. And he'd lost his sight as an adult in an explosion. So he'd been sighted up until that point, which provides a different perspective, I think. I think that's good. Not that he was blinded in an accident, but that we had two different, you know, we weren't both born blind type thing. I mean, it would have been okay if we had been, but I think it's good to get different people's perspectives. Because, you know, he went through ordinary sighted schools and everything, whereas I went through schools for the blind. We showed them some bits and pieces we'd brought. The kids loved my iPad because I showed them how it speaks to me, and you know, and I can hear the things it says back to me, and that, you know, it's not all about you speaking to the gadget. I mean, you can do that with Siri, but obviously you couldn't anyway there, because it's my iPad's a Wi-Fi one, and there was no Wi-Fi there anyway. But that was good, really, because it would have been a distraction. And I wanted to show that the point was it speaking to me, not the other way around. And my iPhone as well, I showed them how you type on it as well, you know, that you would, that you can lift your finger off, feel the letters and lift your finger off when you have found the correct letter and it knows to type it. And they said, you know, why does it say the letter twice? And I said, listen, and you'll hear, you know, it'll say the letter at a different pitch the second time, so that you know it's typed it. John had brought some more sort of, I say basic, but that's not too, not in a derogatory way, but more basic things, you know, that weren't technology based at all. I mean, let's face it, if we had a power cut, his stuff would have still worked, mine wouldn't. So he brought Braille playing cards, and because although he went blind as an adult, he was 22, so still quite young, so he taught himself Braille, or was taught, I don't know, I think he might have taught himself, because he's quite a clever bloke. Braille playing cards, Braille chess set, a tactile watch, and I'm trying to think what else he'd brought his computer, but I don't know, to show like screen readers and stuff, but I don't know whether he actually got round to showing them that or not, because they were all so enamoured with the chess board and things that I'm not sure. Because what happened was the scouts seemed to sort of split into two groups. So the ones who were near my table looked at my stuff, and the ones who were near his table looked at his. And of course, they could always swap between and everything. Oh, and the other thing I did before that was, because John asked them what did blind mean to them, and they were saying, you know, the obvious things, but write things, you know, like can't see. And he said, yeah, that's a good start. And he did it to, someone said it's all dark. And they did it to kind of, he did it to sort of explain that actually a lot of, quotes, blind people have actually got a little bit of sight. For example, I can see light, and I explained, you know, I actually wear sunglasses all the time. I didn't used to, but the last few years I've had to because my eyes have got really sensitive to light. And if I didn't wear sunglasses all the time, then I would probably get more headaches and probably have to close my eyes a lot and things. And I said, you know, I can see light pretty well, but nothing else. But then John was saying, you know, he's got other friends who can see some colours, or some people who can see, who can read a book close up, but they can't see to cross the road, and some people that can see to cross the road, but they can't read printed material. So there's all different types of, sight impairment. And when he'd done that, I did my little bit that I was saying, if anyone heard my I'll be educating the sighted tonight boo the other day, then you might remember I was talking about getting them to listen. And one of the things I'd heard, a bit like in here actually, one of the things I'd heard in the hall when we sort of first got there before all the kids started making a racket was that there was a clock. So I thought, oh good, that we have got some ambient sound, because I was kind of thinking, if I said, oh, can you all listen, close your eyes and listen, see what you can hear, I kind of thought, oh, this could be a bit rubbish, because if nobody moves or does anything, then I can't ask them, you know, what you can tell me about this room. The other thing that had happened was someone had opened a window and you could hear traffic as well, which was good for my purposes. So I said, okay, all close your eyes and listen. And what can you tell me about this room? What can you hear? And somebody did pick up the clock, and somebody else could hear the traffic, I think. And I said, you know, that's the sort of thing I would use to know, that's probably a window or a door, because, you know, there's outside noise coming in. And I said, you know, that if you close your eyes and you're not looking at where people are or what, you know, what stuff's where, you can actually pick up a lot from listening. It's just that you probably don't need to, so you don't, because you look at things instead. And they seemed to take it on board. So they all had a look at our different gadgets. And John had a tape measure as well. That was another thing he had. And he may have had other things too, but they're the ones I can remember. And then they did an activity about pouring drinks. It was only water, and there was a jug and a cup. And John showed them how he does it first, and he was gonna. Oh, there's my clock. That's 8 o'clock. My bird clock. I think he was going to show them the level indicator as well, but time sort of ran away a bit. Then they had to, I don't know if they put blindfolds on or if they closed their eyes, but they had to pour drinks and know when there was enough drink in the cup by using their finger to touch the side of the inside the side of the cup. And you know, some of them found that quite difficult. One of the things I said was, it's often a good idea to listen when you're doing it as well, because you can then hear whether the water's coming out, because otherwise you could be standing there for ages trying to pour this drink of water. But your jug isn't that full, so the water hasn't even started to come out yet. They were a bit noisy still, but yeah, they I think they took something on board anyway. They all had a go, I think. Or the other activity they did before that was, John spoke a little bit. He didn't bring his guide dog with him, but he spoke a little bit about having a guide dog. Not loads, but, you know, a bit. He might have spoken about that more to his little group, his half of the scouts, I don't know. But I thought that was good as well, you know, that he's a guide dog user. I mean, he does have a cane but he is mainly a guide dog user. So he could answer any questions they had about that. And one or two of them did ask him personally, you know, questions about how do you do so-and-so with a guide dog. And I can't remember what his answers were, but because I can't remember exactly what the questions were. But, you know, it was good that they could ask him that, because I'll be honest, I've never had a guide dog, so I wouldn't have really been as good at answering questions about that. I also showed them me walking along with a cane, and there were some obstacles there because they were about to do a sighted guide activity and sighted guide each other, one with either their eyes closed or a blindfold on and the other being the guide. And there were chairs and things put as obstacles that they had to guide each other around. And I used one of those and I hit it with my cane. And one of the points I made to them was, never take someone's hand that's got their cane in, or lift up their cane. If you guide somebody, let them take your arm, and they'll probably use their other arm. So they might still use their cane, because sometimes people guiding, you know, they might be a little bit nervous or they haven't done it before, and they might forget to tell you about obstacles or steps or things if they're not too confident. So I said, you know, if the person does want to still use their cane, don't do things that would stop that. The other thing I said was, don't, always speak to somebody and ask them if they want help, and don't just take somebody's arm, because you could be anybody. They don't have a clue who you are. You could be a really lovely person, or you could be someone really scary that wants to do them harm, you know. So I think it went pretty well. They all seemed loud when they were doing sighted guiding and things, but pretty well behaved. Apparently they behave better with strange people coming. Well, maybe they didn't mean strange as in we're strange, but no, like, you know, strangers coming in rather than their normal leaders. But yeah, they did seem interested though. And like I say, they loved the iPad. And one of the things I said to them was, did you know blind people could use one of these? And they said no. And then I showed them the speech and they were all saying stuff like, oh, cool. You know, I've had some experiences before when I showed people when I was at the tech college, and they were supposed to be older young adults, sort of over 18, you know, university age. And when I showed them my screen reader on the computer, they all just started laughing at the speech. And I just thought, that is ridiculous. Whereas these scouts weren't doing that at all. They were just really, really interested. And I slowed it down so they could understand it and stuff, because I have it quite fast. And I was impressed, you know, how mature and everything they were about it all, and interested. And yeah, it went well. And I feel good for having educated a few people. And so it went well. There were a few things, like I say, that we didn't manage to show. We didn't manage to show them doing things like money, with looking at money with your eyes closed and stuff, because, you know, there's only so much time and there's so many different things you want to say. I wanted to show them how we dial phone numbers, or at least that about the dot on the 5, or that there's little lines either side of a 5 on a phone keypad, because a lot of sighted people don't actually notice that because they don't need to. Why should they notice? You know. So it's and also I wanted to mention about Braille on that's now on medicine boxes and bottles and things. But again, you can't remember everything. So
yeah.
We got quite a lot crammed into the, well, I was going to say 2 hours, but actually it was a bit less because they did the game and everything, so probably, and the stuff at the beginning and end, so we probably had about an hour and a half between us. And we seemed to work quite well together as well, John and I, so that was good, and I think it went really well. I'd be interested, actually, personally, to hear about... you know, if other people have done sessions like that and, you know, how well were they received and, you know, were there things that other blind people have said to groups that I really maybe should have said and should say if I did it again and that sort of thing. Oh, and it was funny because they had a commissioner for the area, which is like the scout leader's boss, basically, and he came on a sort of you know, they go around the different scout packs different weeks, I suppose, I don't know, but anyway, he came that night, and the scout leader said to me afterwards, I think he was quite impressed that I had real blind people. That made me laugh. I knew what he meant, though, because it doesn't have the same impact if you just show them a video or read out things that blind people have said compared to blind people actually showing you what they can do. Because one or two of them, I think, knew people with not very good sight, but not many. Anyway, my parents are ringing, so I'm going to go now. I hope something there has been interesting. Have a good day, evening, whatever. Bye-bye.